Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you so much for listening today to Family Talk, a radio production of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our growing ministry here. This new institute is continuing Dr. Dobson's life work by fighting for marriages and families. It's no secret that our Christian values are under attack, and we must stand up for righteousness and biblical truth unashamedly. We believe this new institute is doing just that. I urge you, take a moment, would you, to learn more at the DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. Aside from our Family Talk broadcast, there are three other divisions through which we're continuing this legacy of work. The first one is our educational partnerships with colleges and universities to encourage the next generation. Secondly is the Dobson Policy Center. It keeps you informed on how the political arena influences the family. And lastly is our online collection of all of Dr. Dobson's work in the Dobson Digital Library. We're excited here at JDFI for this expansion. We hope you'll partner with us. Go to DobsonFamilyInstitute.com and discover more about each of these divisions, maybe how you can be a part. Thanks for standing with us, and thanks for being a friend of the family.
Today on Family Talk.
The traditional wedding vows that couples recite include a promise to love one another, for better or worse. This idea of a lifelong marriage was conceived by God and not to be entered into lightly.
It's a holy ordinance we entered into. It's a covenant. It's more than just a temporary partnership. Before God, God was in the midst of our marriage, and we made a promise, and it reflects the promise He made to Israel. Mm-hmm. If you remember the story where God made a covenant with Israel, it was a one-way covenant. Olivia made a one-way promise to me, and I made a one-way promise to her.
That was one of today's guests here on Family Talk, Kurt Bruner, and what he said is absolutely correct. A successful marriage is built on the pillar of commitment to one another and to God. Today, we're continuing a classic Family Talk broadcast featuring Dr. Dobson and two happy and devoted couples. The first is Kurt and Olivia Bruner. Kurt is the COO of Open Doors International, a ministry that supports persecuted believers around the world. He and his wife Olivia are successful authors and have raised four children. Now, the other couple that joined that discussion was Al and Joanne Jansen. They are authors and active members of many ministries around the country. Today, the Jansens and Bruners will identify what it means to remain faithful in marriage. They'll also talk to those in broken relationships in need of restoration. Let's listen to the second part of this broadcast now. We've titled it Reflecting God's Love Story in Your Marriage. You're listening to Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute.
Let's really get down to the details here. Let's suppose you're talking to a young mother who has got a couple of kids in the preschool years, and she's handling them pretty much on her own. She has realized now for the first time that the man she married is not who she thought he was. She thought he was disciplined. She thought he was caring. She thought he loved children. She thought he would spend money wisely. She thought that he was going to continue in a love relationship with her. And by love, I mean an emotional, caring relationship.
And it's not happening.
Now it's not happening, and she's convinced it's never going to happen. And you talk to her about covenant marriage, and she looks at you askance and says, I have no idea what you mean.
Well, you know what? Al addresses that in the book, too, where he talks about the one-sided marriage, the person who feels like they're doing it on their own. And there's story after story, good friends of ours, where they entered into marriage just like that. And after a while, when she realized it's not happening, what she did instead was do her part. She did the right thing. Even if he wasn't doing the right thing, she was responsible to him, and she continued to do the right thing in the covenant marriage. Because a lot of times in a covenant, only one person's being the hero at a time, you know?
You know, in the scriptures, there's an example where God actually called someone to live in that kind of a marriage for his purposes that person may have never understood, and that was Hosea.
Yes.
You go marry a prostitute who will be unfaithful to you every day of your marriage. You're going to have to keep calling her back. You're going to have to keep buying her back from prostitution. Hosea, I doubt, ever had a happy day of marriage in his entire life. But God had called him specifically to a purpose to tell a story that he had no idea he was part of. And I believe that occurs today. I believe our relationship to our spouse is an expression of worship in the relationship to the God that we serve. Seeing it that way brings you into a transcendent picture that's bigger than the daily grind. And it infuses meaning. You remember Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. He was one who survived a concentration camp. And he made this observation. Those who sensed there was a purpose in their suffering survived. Those who didn't went mad or died.
Concept is so foreign to who we are. It's almost un-American to think of living in an unhappy relationship because it's the right thing to do. And yet, that's what the scriptures say, isn't it, Joanne?
Absolutely. And you got to believe it and you got to do it. And somewhere along the line, you know there's some deferred hope or joy. But
there is.
And that's what keeps you going.
I think one thing that I would add to that is that a spouse who's feeling they're in a one-sided relationship can do the right thing, Ephesians says, as unto the Lord. So when my wife doesn't feel like fixing dinner, and that's a little thing, but I come home and sometimes she'll say to me at night, I'll say thank you for a wonderful meal, and she'll say, well, I really didn't feel like doing it. Well, if you're not getting a response back from your spouse, you can say, Lord, this is for you. And I believe that's why this marriage picture is in Scripture, is that's what he wants us to see. That's what he wants us to experience.
And there is an element of hope here that we're not talking about. I taught a Sunday school class of young married couples for 10 years or so, and I dealt with a lot of men and women during that time who were involved in infidelity and all kinds of difficulties. They'd fallen out of love with each other. And the amazing thing is about half of them not only survived, but actually fell in love with each other all over again.
You can have it
good
back.
Story.
That's right.
And those are friends that I was talking about earlier. That's what's happened with them. It's been so neat. They've been married 40 years now. And he will say, I was a jerk back then. He'll admit it. And he knows he was. But for about 12 years, he never said it. And she had to continue to be the hero in that relationship, not hearing it from him.
And if she had left, and she, from the American perspective, she was not happy. We know this couple as well. The world would have said she had every right to leave and follow her own desires. But today, this couple is a picture to both of us that here's a beautiful picture because she was a heroic in her love, and her husband rises up today and calls her blessed.
Kurt, we've talked about heroes several times here. What do you mean by that phrase?
Well, I think this is the critical message of the book, but the critical message of what marriage is. All of what we've discussed so far, we never even have gotten into yet, the passionate marriage. I mean, God's marriage is also a passionate marriage, and there is the thrill and the excitement that comes with that. So it's not all stick to it, you know, whether you like it or not type of thing. I think all of us around the table have had our wonderful times and our difficult times. But all of this builds, and I think of it as a drama unfolding. And every great drama has some type of a tension that has to be resolved, and it needs a hero. Every great drama needs a hero. Well, all of the difficulty that we've talked about, all of the fact that God has an unfaithful spouse, and the fact that God said, and if you are unfaithful, I'll pay the price, where does that point us? It points us to the ultimate hero of history and of our lives, Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did what? Who gave up everything for us. The essence of being heroic is giving up yourself for someone else. Right. Christ did it by giving his life. I may do it by biting my tongue when I know I'm right in the argument with Olivia.
But now, wait a minute.
It would really be kind of fitting for us to all have a big fight, right?
That's right. Okay. But it could go all the way to someone who spends their entire life as a spouse, like Hosea, who's faithful, who gives love, who serves their part of the covenant, and it never comes back. And it really never does until that moment on the other side when they hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of your true marriage to me.
Right. I think marriage is really about, over a lifetime, learning to lose yourself and give up your selfishness. And there's no better place to learn that lesson that our Lord said of he who seeks to find life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Yeah. Marriage is the place to learn that.
Mm. Thought that comes to mind for me is when God got married to mankind, he knew he was marrying a fallen creature mm-hmm. who would fail. Mm-hmm. I think back to, Al paints a beautiful picture in the book of the first marriage before the fall. What was it like for Adam and Eve? And he tells the story. But then comes the fall. And the scriptures say that when Eve was tempted and took the fruit, that Adam was right there with her. He wasn't off somewhere else. He was right there with her. And he paints a picture of what would have happened had Adam been heroic at that moment, rather than going along. Could he have stood up and said, wait a minute, take my life instead of hers? Mm. What might have happened if he was heroic? But he wasn't. He was a coward, and husbands have been cowards ever since. But that's the impact of the fall. And when that young lady or a young man's getting married, recognize you're marrying a fallen person, right. And the covenant you're making is one way, whether it ever comes back to you or not.
Right. If he seems perfect, there's something wrong.
He's lying.
Yeah, that's
there's something wrong with the contract.
There's only
there.
Been yeah. one or two of those kind of husbands, and Olivia got one of them.
And I got the other one. Yes.
We're talking about the book, The Marriage Masterpiece, A Bold New Vision for Your Marriage. This is not a how-to book on marriage, is it?
I think there will be helpful insights, I hope there will be, that of how to apply it. But primarily, it's about what is the meaning in my marriage and where is this heading? And why do I do the things that I need to do in my marriage to make it work?
I was going to say that the how-to, there are many, many great how-to books.
Absolutely.
And when we went into this project, this was the idea. We don't need right now another how-to. We've got to remind the people of God what this is all about. Why marriage? What is marriage? And I would describe it as an inspirational book. You read this book and the passion ignites again of there's a purpose behind all of this. I'm not just trapped in the daily grind. It's about something bigger than me, and therefore it infuses meaning into every part of life. Within that context, the how-to is critical. You know what? If you're in a fighting marriage, as described here, you probably need Love Must Be Tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You need
right.
the how-to of Love Must Be Tough. What do you do when there's a crisis? But if you don't have the commitment to know that it's about something bigger, why even go through the crisis? Why even be tough?
Kurt, this subtitle is interesting. You call it a bold new vision for your marriage. This is as old as mankind, but as
right.
the scriptures.
Isn't that sad that we've had
are,
to call
are
it new?
We saying, are you saying that this is not being taught in the churches?
Well, when we began brainstorming the concepts in this, we realized we can't find this anywhere. We can't find this information anywhere. You know, bits and pieces. But no one has painted the grand masterpiece in one Sistine Chapel, if you will, to let us see the whole thing and say, wow, that's what it's about. We all probably would say we believe this. We would all say that, yeah, I agree with that. But we haven't entered in and experienced it the way I think it's been painted here.
I tell you what, when it functions as designed, it's a wonderful thing.
Shirley
and I have had these 41 years, and like everybody else, there have been more difficult years than others. You know, there was the year Shirley broke her leg, and Ryan was 2 years of age, and I had to be Mr. Mom, and we were halfway through rebuilding a house, and we were living in plaster dust. And so we had our tough years, but never to the point of questioning for a second that we did the right thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said many times, I would not be sitting here, would not be doing what I'm doing if it were not for the support and love and encouragement that Shirley gave me. Mm-hmm. She is the greatest gift to me that I have ever had. And when you do enter into that kind of relationship, it is marvelous.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dobson, could I just say, on top of that you and Shirley are a picture to Joe and me of what it should be like. And one of the things that I think is so important, and the reason that I believe so passionately that Christians need to get this picture in their heads, is the world is looking, and we have a message to give to the world, but many times it's a message that's pictured, not spoken. And for Joe and me, couples that have been married 50, 60, 70 years and have been faithful to the Lord are a tremendous inspiration to us.
And there are fewer and fewer of them.
Unfortunately, there are. Christian couples would see that yes, times are tough right now. We're going through a difficult period. But there's a beautiful picture that's being painted, right. And then later on we'll see it. But not just us, others will see it around us. I think of one couple that tremendous inspiration to us. For the last 15 years of their marriage before they passed away, she had Alzheimer's. And for the last 8 or 9 years, she pretty much couldn't communicate with her husband at all. And the way he loved her was such a picture to me of the beauty of love and gave me an insight into what God is like. So that's what the stakes are.
I know a family like that right now where the husband is taking care of his wife who has Alzheimer's, and he treats her like a queen,
yes,
like an absolute queen, and she can give him very little back in return. Yes.
I'm also sensitive to the listener who hears that and says, you know, if your mate can't, it's a little easier to be heroic than if your mate won't. They won't give back, even though they could, you know. And Al does a beautiful job of pointing the hope that's even in that situation. It's not just a message to those who have the situations that are easy to handle.
You know, Kurt, I think it's important to say right here that we're not talking about trying to be a hero when your spouse is physically abusing you or having repeated affairs for which he or she is unrepentant. I mean, there are certain situations where you do need to practice tough love and perhaps even separate for a while and get some help and then see if there's any possible way to reconcile or come back together. I wrote about that, of course, in my book, Love Must Be Tough. Kurt, I don't think I've ever asked anybody to role play a prayer, you know, a kind of a conversation with God before, but I'm going to ask you to do that now. And I'm probably going to put you on the spot just a little bit, but let's suppose you're in a loveless, passionless marriage, and that's been going on for 10 years, and you want to do what's right. You want a covenant marriage, and you get on your knees before the Lord, and what do you say to him?
God, first of all, I feel betrayed. I thought this was going to be better than it is. And I want to be honest with you about that. And I'm mad. I'm angry about it. Mm-hmm. But I have to believe and hold on to the fact that you've told me you're going to be faithful and that you've called me to something bigger than what I'm living. And so what I'm going to ask you for is the grace every single day to live what you've called me to live. And I'm also going to believe, my hope comes in that whether it's in this life or if it's in the life to come, you're going to say to me, well done. You're going to smile. You're going to put your arm around me, and you're going to say, now I'm going to show you what marriage is really about. Mm-hmm. Enter into my intimacy. And I believe you're going to say to me, as you wipe my tears, you know the moment when you most wanted to throw in the towel? That's the well done, good and faithful servant moment, because you didn't. And if I don't believe that, then I will throw in the towel. But I need your grace right now, because I'm mad at you and I'm mad at my mate. You've got to sustain me.
I believe the Lord will honor that prayer too, don't you? You have tears in your eyes, Olivia.
God's faithfulness has got to be a motivation for the reason we're faithful to our spouse. His faithfulness to us is a huge motivation so that we can continue to be faithful to our spouse.
Joanne?
I don't talk very good when I'm crying. That was beautiful, Kurt.
You realize we're talking to people who could pray that prayer.
Yes. Lots of people.
That's exactly what hit me, because I know people that need to be praying that prayer on an hourly basis. Mm-hmm. And I know people that probably didn't pray that prayer and gave up. And that's a disaster to me. That's a heartbreak.
Thank God our Lord didn't give up in Gethsemane, because he prayed a prayer like that, saying, Lord, I don't want to go through this, but not my will, but thy will be done.
What we have to understand is that the Lord has neither called us to be happy or promised us that we would be happy. Right. He has promised us to walk with us. Mm-hmm. And there may be circumstances like you described with Hosea, where it is tough, it is difficult. Mm-hmm. And yet he will, honor the kind of prayer that you prayed, Kurt.
I love the picture painted by J.R. Tolkien in his Lord of the Rings book, where he has these characters who are going through a very terrible time, and they're talking about stories, and they realize they're in a story. And they say, you know, sometimes the story you're chosen to be in is not the greatest part to play, but it's the best story to read. And I believe someday the story of every single marriage is going to be read, and the best ones are the ones most people wish they were never in. But they were faithful and they were heroic, and that's what we're called to be.
Al, give us a bottom line for your book.
God has given us the model for marriage, and that model is himself. He has experienced everything in his marriage that I believe we as human beings experience in our marriage. And despite pain and disappointment and anger, he has been faithful to his beloved. And his model and his picture is an inspiration to us and to me to go the distance in our marriage.
The title of the book again is The Marriage Masterpiece, A Bold New Vision for Your Marriage, by Al Janssen. Joanne, you played a role in this.
I read every word of every edition, of every thought. Yes, I keep reading it. It's an important book. I'm very touched that my husband wrote it.
And has your input in it as well?
Oh, there's lots of Al and Joanne stories. Yes, yeah. There is. There's a lot of input there.
Kurt Bruner, you have played a role in this book as well. You said you feel this is the most important book on marriage in the last decade or
so. I do. I really do, because this is what we've forgotten, and we need to be reminded.
Hmm. Olivia, did you play a role in this book?
I'm just married to Kurt.
And that's good enough.
Talk about heroic.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for being our guests. I'm sure we'll get a lot of interesting mail. I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of it didn't come from people who could have prayed the prayer that you prayed, Kurt. And that is the foundation. That's the basis. And anything short of that will not sustain you through the tough times. Blessings to you all, and you. I trust that the book will be a great success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Robson.
I'm Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to an encouraging and important broadcast here on Family Talk. I hope this discussion over the past couple of programs has challenged you to reevaluate your relationship with your spouse. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about today's guests and the book, Your Marriage Masterpiece. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast menu. If you're looking for content that relates to faith, family, and culture, sign up for Dr. Dobson's newsletter. These personal thoughts provide clarity on tough issues and encouragement for your Christian walk. Cut through the noise of everyday life and find wisdom and direction from Dr. Dobson. We want you to receive Dr. Dobson's newsletter every month, so there's no obligation from you. Simply call 877-732-6825, and a member of our team will be happy to send you a copy. That number again is 877-732-6825. Finally, did you know that you can now listen to our daily broadcast through Amazon Alexa? This hands-free device allows you to hear Dr. Dobson at any point of the day with an easy command. Simply enable the Family Talk skill, then say, Alexa, play today's broadcast of Family Talk. Learn more about accessing Family Talk on your Amazon Alexa by visiting drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you'll join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
This is James Dobson again. As we close today's program, I just want to thank so many of you out there who make this broadcast possible with your contributions. And I want to tell you how much your generosity is appreciated.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. Where do you go to receive support and advice for your family? You know, we interact with thousands of people every day through our Facebook page. There you're going to find inspiring advice on what matters most to you. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our profile will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Visit us at facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Each day, you're going to find our latest broadcast, helpful resources, inspirational pictures and quotes. Nowhere else are you going to be able to start your day with a thought from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special message before you go to sleep. Remember, you can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. Take time to visit us and become a part of our online community on Facebook, will you? Simply go to facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.